Nice. All right,
back. All right. I kind of hummed, so it wasn't.
That's fine. I don't care.
Okay. Well, just so they'll listen.
The pregnant or non-pregnant silences.
True. True. I should have just left it silent.
Because nobody could probably hear my dog because I'm in the.
No, I couldn't. I couldn't hear.
Because you know why? Because I don't have the condenser microphone you have that picks up everything
mm-hmm.
from all directions. I have a noise canceling microphone.
That's cool.
So it only picks up like if it hears background noise.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
So my dogs were outside barking and I heard it.
Cool.
Oh, yeah, I left my stupid dogs outside so I could destroy my life. I forgot. Okay. Okay, so I hope that didn't break up your story too much.
No, I don't care. We could talk about something else.
Yeah, no, this is a bummer.
It is a bummer.
Your life is a total bummer.
Oh God, it is. We're talking about marriage here. Marriage.
I've been trapped in a marriage for how many years now? Not trapped. I mean, you could leave if you want. But how many years? Self-imposed trap.
Okay, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
8 years.
40, 50, 60, 70. It'll be 9 years at the end of this year in October.
And so are you planning to stay in this relationship for the rest of your
life?
Oh,
jeez. Oh, jeez.
Till death do us part?
Oh, jeez. Oh, jeez. Well, it depends on whether or not I plan on dying while I'm living or not. So.
I love it.
I haven't decided yet. Should I just roll over and die and
it's
go through
living
the
living death, right? Baby.
Should I go through the motions through, you know. So I've been watching Louis C.K. for.
That helps.
He's so funny. He's getting married is like oh shit I'm trapped, oh my god,
I can't leave.
Yeah. And then he says, and then you have kids and you're like, oh shit, left. I could have left
now I can't. Yeah, that's it.
God, I was like crying last night. I He is hilarious. He is sexual too. He is really sexual. He talks about jacking off and sex all the time.
Talks about everything. He talks about all the intimate stuff.
That's
all that
awesome.
Stuff that he goes there. I love it. I love that he does that.
Yeah.
He's the best. Louis C.K. is the best thing that has happened in culture in the last 10 years during this age of Obama and the millennial generation. It's like when I found him. It was like finding a mirage. It was finding an oasis in the desert.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit! There's someone that I can actually get into that's, like, really cool.
Yeah.
Because I haven't been able to find anything like that.
Yeah. Because I was just watching something where he's calling himself a professional asshole. So it's awesome because, you know, people are too polite these days. And with all the millennials and leftists and whatever, you know, they're too politically correct. And he is not politically correct. And it's hilarious. It's so funny.
Well, yeah, he even has a comedy show. That's what he calls it, hilarious. And he talks about language.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he talks about is I think he does talk about the newer generation and millennials, though I don't think he calls them millennials. But
yeah, he says this generation today.
Actually, a lot of the things I talk about in this in my show and on my site
are kind of
inspired by, not inspired by, because he vocalize those things.
Yes.
And made it so obvious in a way. I was like, yes, 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 that's it. Exactly.
And he is so good at making you laugh at things that you probably shouldn't be laughing about. Like beating up children.
Well, if you have children,
oh
you'll
God.
Know.
Yeah, true, I guess. Yeah, so I've been watching him. He's
people,
great.
I think that the people that can relate to Louis C.K.
the most,
especially when he's, because I mean he started doing that because he's been around for a long time.
Right. Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm.
He's been around since the '80s doing stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he kind of came on the radar in the early like 2000s, like he started doing these because he started talking about being married and then having his first child, and that's when he just started talking about that, and that's what it is.
There's one where he's talking about like marriage and how you don't have sex at all. And he's like, yeah, my friends are like thinking about getting married and they're like, oh, I don't know, like sex with one person for the rest of your life. I don't know if I can do it. And he's like, yeah, that will never happen. Sex with one person for the rest of your life would be awesome, but we don't have sex at all with anybody. So you're not going to have sex with anybody for the rest of your
life. Try having sex with zero people. That's a lot worse.
Oh, my God.
I would love to have sex with one person for the rest of my life.
Right.
Fat bearded lady. Anything.
Right. Yeah. He said something like fat bearded dead something.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. Yeah.
So yeah. I think he's... Yeah, he's the type of... He's also ADD. Talks about how he's ADD and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So I relate to that.
Yeah.
He's just so funny. The most relevant comedian and cultural force in the last 10 years.
Yep.
It's just been a barren oasis for me. I mean, a barren desert. I've never seen it. I haven't seen anything in the last 10, 15 years. Since really... The last thing I remember was Kid A, Radiohead. That's the last thing I remember from the band Radiohead.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that was the last statement. I think that was that album was really the Kid A is really the statement of what the 2000s became.
Mm-hmm.
It just became just like that album. It just it was what's the word? Prophetic or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because I listened to that album, I'm like, this album is so fucking depressing. It's like the most depressing, just in some way I can't even describe it. It's just so depressing.
Yeah.
And it perfectly captures that feeling that I felt in the last, since around the turn of the millennium.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm.
And all these millennials growing up.
Yeah. Boom, in your face.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, when is the next fucking generation?
No, they're already here. Centennials, they're called.
Yeah, I know they're here. Yeah, they're here. And I think that generation will be better.
Probably.
It can't get any worse.
Probably.
I hope. I fucking hope. Pray to God. I pray to God. I'm on my fucking knees every night. Please bring another generation. Bring another generation. These fucking millennials. I hate them.
No, I'm a millennial and I'm cool. So if I'm cool and I'm a millennial, there's got to be other cool millennials out there.
There is.
There has to be.
The ones that like me. The ones on my site, I like. The ones that like me, basically. I'm like, yeah, well, if you like me, then you're a cool millennial.
So if I didn't like you, I wouldn't be cool.
Well, no, but I don't know. All I'm saying is that there's a rash of fucking people out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all these teenagers. Mm-hmm. I see them all the time. Teenagers, 20-somethings.
Yeah.
And I've been seeing it. I don't know when it started, but I started noticing it. I started noticing a new influx of some energy in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And it was in the form of...
Spoiled.
Entitled. These kids, like these kids that for like they the first thing I noticed about these kids was that they were having their hair all like carefully messed up kind of thing, like they just got out of bed, but they crafted it so it's like this artificial kind of disarray.
Uh-huh.
And then they would dress in these kind of like post grunge, you know, clothes, you know, of the grunge, you know, the whole grunge thing that happened when I was a teenager.
Yeah, I like the grunge look.
See, the grunge thing was authentic. Like the people that were doing that music, like Kurt Cobain, and Soundgarden, Nirvana, Soundgarden, Pearl Jam, I guess, and Alice in Chains, and but particularly like the grunge thing,
Bush.
Yeah, Bush. Well. Bush. Yeah, baby, give me some. Yeah, Bush, baby.
Bush. I have a Bush, and I'm so proud of my Bush. I love my Bush, and I'm not freaking, like, it's in.
You're proud of your Bush?
I love my Bush.
Well, then Bush fucking came along, like the real Bush.
Yep.
And fucked everyone's lives up. H.W. Bush.
From Bush to Bush to Bush.
H.W. Yeah. I love him. You know what? I didn't like Bush.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to turn the subject from your personal Bush.
Yeah, how dare you?
Much as I like to talk about like your Bush and stuff.
I love my Bush. But yeah.
Actually, dude, you interrupted me. I was talking about something really fucking important.
No. Here you come with, my Bush. I contributed. If we rewind, okay, I contributed. I said,
pay attention
Bush,
to me. Pay attention
the
to my
band.
Bush.
No, the band Bush. And then you said, oh, Bush. And I was like, yeah Bush.
I set it up.
See,
for you.
You did set it up.
Fucking goddamn it. ADD.
So anyways, right. Let's talk about my Bush.
I don't even want to talk about it, but Radiohead was a bummer. And everything that came, so you had these carefully crafted millennial types. These are like a new type that I was noticing, and I didn't have a word for it until someone said millennials, and I'm like, oh, is that what, okay, that's the word for these people? Okay, that's what it is. Okay, fine, that's the name. And yeah, it encompasses, I guess, this whole generation. Because they, you know, and they're, the primary characteristic of this generation is slickness.
Slickness.
Mm-hmm. It's like they, you know, every generation has to rebel, I guess, but as teenagers. But like I said, their rebellion is not like they would pretend like, oh yeah, I'm really desperate and down and out, and like my hair is all messed up, and I'm wearing these grungy clothes, which are not really grungy clothes because they're all perfectly put together. You know, that's not fucking what grunge was about. I mean, grunge wasn't about, like, you know, when people started wearing flannel shirts and stuff because of Kurt Cobain and Alice in Chains and these bands of the 90s and stuff that were really from the Pacific Northwest, the United States. They wore fucking flannel because that's what that's what people up there are dressing, because there's a lot of logging going on up there. It's like, it's authentic, you know.
Yeah.
And then you have all these people like, oh, grunge is so cool, you know, and they're wearing all these down and out kind of, and they look like they just crawled out of fucking, like, you know, like out of the fucking grime of life.
Yeah, and they buy, like, really expensive jeans that are ripped.
And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the actual real, like, good grunge people, like, Generation X, you know?
Yeah, I'm talking about the millennials.
And I'm talking about one particular kind, too. I mean, because, like, a lot of people of Generation X weren't. Like, Kurt Cobain, for example, was considered the spokesman for his generation, you know? But, you know, I don't know if everyone would consider him that. But the thing is, Kurt Cobain was actually, like, an authentic person, you know? Even if he was... He was for real, you know? Like, he was really
for
desperate.
Reals.
In a, he was real for reals. And that was reflected in the music.
I love his music.
He has a fucking song called "I Hate Myself and I Want to Die," like that type of shit. It's real. Like he felt that way. Anyways, so you have all these millennials and like
Milk It. Ugh, really good. I
fucking
like
die, you fuckers. I hate
Milk
you.
It. Milk It's really good.
Like we're so fucking you know, like everything. Like what Louis C.K. is talking about. Like he talks about it in Hilarious. It's like you know, like the way people talk now and. Everyone uses words that they reach for.
Yeah.
Like, dude, that was hilarious. You know, it's like, really? That was fucking hilarious. Come on.
Yes.
That wasn't hilarious. Oh, dude, you're a genius. You know, it's like, no, you're not a genius. People just use words. They use language irresponsibly.
Yeah.
And and it's just like everything is just
so
kind of like, there's
funny.
No.
I need to see him. I need to go see him. You know. Like in one of his tours or whatever is.
he's the spokesman for that generation. He's not a millennial, but he's a spokesman for the 2005 to 2015 generation.
Yeah.
Whereas like nothing to like, you know, they started putting, like I started to notice it too with smartphones, you know?
Oh yeah.
And then you'd be seeing billboards for these fucking things. That was what the hottest thing was, like you'd see billboards, the new Android, you know?
Yeah.
And a picture of the phone.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is what culture's come down to, is like fucking people care about their fucking phones.
Oh,
like in the newest phones that come out.
Yep.
That's what our culture is now?
Oh yeah. Wait in a line that's like you're gonna be waiting there for 5 hours just to get the new phone. For sure.
I mean, it used to be like there would be something to, like people would get in line to wait for like a really cool album that was coming out by a big band.
Or tickets for a concert.
Yeah, something.
Remember when you had to go like buy tickets for a concert? Like go to, what do they call it?
Ticketmaster?
Yeah, that's something. You'd have to like go get the ticket.
You have to go actually get them, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to do anything anymore.
Nah.
You just have to click things. Click, click, click. I got it. And that's a good point, you know? Like that's why the generation is like that, because they never had to go through anything that was hard. Like they never actually.
But maybe our struggle is internal.
Well, I think the millennials maybe have a I mean, everybody does. Maybe they have a destiny, you know, to meet something. I don't know what, you know, because it's maybe too early to figure that out. But
mm-hmm.
all I know is what I've seen. And I'm like, if this continues for a really much longer,
nah,
it's going to really suck. But, you know, I don't think it will because, you know, why?
Won't. Why?
Because there's already been a shift.
Yeah, exactly. It's already, balance. It's already, balance is being, you know.
You know, yeah. There's already been a shift in the in the force, baby.
Mm.
And you're right now seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
Trump! This fucking blow! It's like, yeah, well, that's the fucking shift, sorry.
He's so sexy.
That's the counterbalance. Yeah, well, you think so? You're like, I'm trying. I have to see people as sexy, you know? And I remember you were asking me that.
Yeah.
Do you think Trump is sexy? And my answer to you was, I mean, you know, not in the
right
convention. Not certainly not in this current sense that men are sexy. You know, that's what I said before. Trump is an old school kind of guy, so he's not like a millennial who just walked out of a magazine cover or something.
There are qualities and attributes.
They're all surface. You know, they're all surface and slick, and they got the look and stuff, and that's all you need.
He has qualities that are sexy.
Yeah, he does. He has like what's called actual vitality, and fucking spiritual energy.
Yeah.
And people are confused when I say that. It's like, well, what's spiritual? Like. You'd have to understand what actually the term spiritual really means. It doesn't mean this new age kumbaya kind of thing. Spiritual is vital fucking causal energy.
Mm.
If emanating from the spiritual plane, like fire, that causes everything else to come into manifestation. It's spark of life, vitality. He has that.
Mm.
And that's exactly what was missing in this current equation. It's just like there's
fire.
No fucking vitality in this millennial and everything sucks generation, and I'll just pick up my phone and like blah blah blah. What's missing is just the fucking force.
Yeah.
Something galvanizing.
Yes.
Something you can believe, like something that you can respect and believe in.
Yeah. Or be scared about and cower.
Anything would be better than just this kind of like
passionate reaction.
The generation of meh. Like, I hate that word. I remember when I first discovered the word, like, meh. I'm like, yeah, meh. Meh, meh is the fucking word to exactly describe en masse the things that the
millennials,
the millennial generation kind of, meh, everything, you know, everything is like, yeah, it's a meh, it's all right.
Meh.
It's nothing to get excited about.
Right.
Well, fuck you then. I mean, here's something to be excited about or be catastrophized by, but, you know, that's what happens when the world goes on like that for too long.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't know because they've grown up in this whole computer smartphone age.
I know.
They don't know they don't know anything about history or the real world or about going through a war or something, you know. I mean, 9/11 happened, but I think a lot of them, they were too young to process it.
Oh yeah. You know? Yeah. I was in 8th grade. Yep.
Yeah, 9/11. I remember that was a big one. That was a major shift. That happened 2001, around the time where everything got really shitty because collectively Americans just put their heads down and were like, okay, whatever we have to do not to go through any shit like that, we'll do it. You know, we'll just be mediocre and we'll just, you know, obey, whatever. But it sucks because it creates... Who can respect that, you know, like a culture of people like that?
That's too hard. I can't.
I don't know. And I'm a sensitive person. I don't like to say stuff like that about it, but that's after living through it.
Yeah.
That's how I feel now.
I know.
That's how I feel. I'm like, you know, and people are so scared. Well, Trump's going to cause World War III.
Nah,
you know?
I know.
I'm like, look, first of all, we have the media has been generating so much fear for the last 15 fucking years. People are so caught up like in this culture of fear. And if you actually like look at stuff like just look at like, for example, what Trump says, or it's like, dude, that's not the impression I get. Like, he doesn't want to cause World War III. Mm-hmm. Maybe you guys want to cause World War III because you want something like in the unconscious level, like you want something like that's really just mind-shattering or something because you're so bored with yourself or something, but mm-hmm. that's not what it's about, you know? I don't know.
Me either. Hey.
Well, here we go again. All right, well.
I just stick my head in the sand, okay? That's what I do. I'm really good at it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't blame you, but being plugged into the internet, the internet is a huge fucking problem, like, in that sense, because it's just, we've never lived in a time where the internet, there's just been a thing called the internet, and people can just plug into it, and just, there's information, information.
Right, at your fingertips.
And there's no way of knowing. It's not even that there's no way of knowing, it's just there's so much of it that it just leads to this compulsive, like, I need to get more information about.
And then
you can always find information to validate your point of view. I mean, there's enough information, whatever you want to think, there's information to validate it.
Ugh, I can't do it, though. Like, how do you do it? How the heck do you do it? I can't do it.
I love the internet, but I hate it, too. I think it's simultaneously, it could be a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing, for example, for me, because I get to communicate with people.
Right.
But, like, the way a lot of people use the internet, myself included, like, a long time ago, when I first discovered the internet, I would.
Were you addicted?
I would loved it, because I love stimulation.
Did you watch lots of porn?
I did, you know, at one point I went through that, and I went through because I'm interested in, you know, the things I'm interested in. I always would be looking up stuff, more information.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember just in the stuff that I write about, which is Myers-Briggs and astrology, I've been interested in those things for about 20 years. So when I first got on the internet, which was around the around 2000, it was just like, whoa.
A lot.
There's all this, but it wasn't even a lot then.
Yeah, true.
It wasn't even that much. And then I've looked at it now, how much, like, for how much things there are for the same topics, like astrology and Myers-Briggs. It's just crazy. It's and now there's Tumblr sites and everyone's
there's so many sources. There's so many sources. So which source do you trust? You know, which ones can you trust?
Well, you know, I think a lot of people, it's not even about trust. It's just about just entertainment. It's like, I just want to keep spinning my head, you know, into this information thing. It's like an addiction.
Yeah, it is an addiction. It's
and then
disgusting.
Meanwhile, while people are doing that, it's creating a really shitty world on the outside.
Oh,
like
God,
in the real world, there's people walking around, and now everyone has their smartphones. And people, I see them at cafe, you know, driving down the street, and they're sitting outside, you know.
Well, they'd be
somewhere.
So uncomfortable to just
and they're
put
talking
their
to each other
away.
And they're like they have their phone there and they're looking at the phone, looking at each other, and it's like that's not real interaction.
No.
That's bullshit, and it sucks to be. I mean, I don't want to be in that world. I don't want to.
No.
I don't want to go. I don't want to drive around a city that has this whole web of you know around it.
I know it's really freaky. Like someone could make a horror movie out of it.
It's a horror movie.
You know. I always fantasize about if everything went dark.
It's Kid A. Kid A, that album, it totally hit the nail on the head. It's prophetic because that's what, when I listen to that album, it feels like, that's what it feels like in the world. It's very dark. It's very dark and it's very almost, not even dark in a horror movie way, just dark in this extreme emptiness.
Yeah.
This extreme emptiness just like, I'm not, you know, not being here, not being present.
Oh. Getting sucked into that,
and nothing sacred or anything. It's
exactly,
just
exactly.
Everything's disposable. People are disposable. It's like if you don't like this one person,
terrible.
Then go fucking trade. Go find another person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't used to be like that. It wasn't like that.
I know they used to like old homes. When you look at old homes, they have a welcoming room, like a sitting room, and so like people would visitors. Would come to your house, you would sit in that room and talk to them. I don't think people can do that nowadays. They'd be like, why the fuck would I waste square footage on a room where you just sit there and talk to someone?
I mean, I try to go to coffee shops sometimes to find coffee shops I like.
Yeah.
But people will be in the coffee shops on their laptops together.
Yeah.
They'll be sharing a screen, or they'll be on two separate screens mm-hmm. in the same, like, sitting next to each other. I've seen people on dates, like young millennial couples on dates, and they're one's on their screen, the other's on their screen. I'm like, how fucking pathetic is that? That is just so pathetic.
You're missing everything. And it takes like, everything away. It takes away, like, we're going to start forgetting how to enjoy sex, too. Like, it takes everything away. When you take all of those sensors away, so, you're
So even if Trump starts World War III, it'll be doing everyone a favor. Mm-hmm. And nothing could be worse than that. Yeah. And I'm not saying that he's going to do that, but because I don't think he is, mm-hmm. but I honestly believe that with my heart. But even if he did, wouldn't it make your lives a little more fucking interesting? Like, something would be going on in the world that you would actually have, you would have a not choice in, you know?
Yeah.
You would be subject to it. Cause that happens to a lot of, you know, people in the earlier generations. They went through shit and they had to make the best of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, that's what I see for the millennials. They were a spoiled generation and they were coddled, you know, by their parents.
Yep.
And Strauss Howe generational theory does talk about this. You know, if you're familiar with that, there's four different generations, and they repeat throughout American history. And I know a very little about it because someone sent it to me, and I said, "Yeah, that makes sense." Mm-hmm. So the millennial generation, there was other millennial generations, like it's a repeat every 80 years. So, so what happens during this generation is this one and the previous is that, like, there's this societal turning points that happen or events that happen in society that cause, like, the people that are, like, the millennials, their parents are very protective of them, and they mm-hmm. kind of spoil them. Whereas the generation before that, Generation X, it's like they're called the latchkey generation. Their parents were just kind of let them do whatever because they were, like, their parents were the hippie generation, you know.
Right.
They were, like, participating in consciousness expansion and stuff, and they just were, like, they let their kids... They were more, you know, into themselves and their own consciousness expansion and stuff and mm-hmm. having a good time. And so the Generation X, the Generation X children were kind of the opposite. They were kind of neglected and just left to their own devices. Mm-hmm. So that creates different characters to each generation. So anyways, this generation, I don't know what's going to happen to it, but there's another generation that's starting started, I don't know, at some point, like 2006, 2007, so 2005, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
That's considered, in this theory, the Strauss Howe generational theory, to be the next generation, which is pretty different from the millennial generation.
Mm-hmm.
It's more they call it the artist generation. So a lot of the people that were, like, the beatniks, this is the next generation of that. So it could be that, and the millennial generation, what it's called, the civic generation or the hero generation, but they're what the basic way to sum it up is that they're a conformist generation. They uphold, they're an obedient generation. And obviously not you. I mean,
obedient and Erica don't go together.
I mean, obviously, within each generation, there's always going to be individuals that can...
Right.
I mean, I do, too, in my generation. Yeah. I do not conform to my generation.
You mess up the statistics.
Well, no. I mean, I'm just the exception that proves the rule, I guess. I mean, I do see these characteristics in generations, but I just personally don't resonate with... I actually resonate most with the baby boomer generation.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be my parents' generation. I like them. I just like them the best. I think they're the coolest generation.
My parents are baby boomers too,
because they were the 60s generation, and I like a lot of the music that came from the 60s and
That's the best.
And some of the
late 60s, early 70s, right in there. That's like perfect. It's right in there, perfect.
Yeah. And that was a time when I think rebellion meant something more, you know, like being a rebel or a liberal. Yeah. You know, I guess it meant something. Yeah. More. And there was just a lot of good culture that came out of it, a lot of beautiful ideals and stuff. But
totally.
I don't see that anymore. I see now that the leftist or liberal generation, I'm like, you guys are exhausted.
Mm.
And now it's going to turn into something else. Like, you have nothing, whatever. So it's just nothing there anymore. So And then the pendulum always swings. So it'd be interesting to see what happens, but I don't necessarily think it's going to be bad. You know, there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of fear right now. But I think it will be largely unfounded. This is my opinion. I think it will be largely unfounded. There's obviously going to be some people that are running up against a wall because they think something was supposed to happen a certain way. But again, that's just another smug, kind of entitled attitude. It's like, and it's insular attitude. It's this insular attitude of like, well, this wasn't supposed to happen, you know. This is supposed to go this way, you know. They didn't. It's like, well, they didn't because you guys are exhausted and there's nothing there anymore. I mean, that's how I feel.
Yep.
Well, we're at like, I don't know what we're at. Like, time.
Fuck.
That just flew by.
Do we need to get Prax over here? Does she need to monitor this shit? Because, man,
maybe.
We're like...
Maybe she needs to be like, okay, topic, go. And then she says, okay, stop. Okay, topic,
at least,
go.
At least figure out how to expand my upload limits.
Yeah.
I hate dealing with this shit. It's like... Why can't I expand my upload limits past 50 megabytes?
Well, we can...
Hello? Hello, people.
We can cut.
I want it. I want it, man. It's supposed to happen on the click.
No,
come on.
I know.
All right. So I guess
okay,
we'll close there. That was a very, very optimistic show. That was very optimistic.
Yeah.
It was very beautiful.
It was gorgeous.
I'm homosexual one. That's homosexual two, Erica.
Hi. Bye.
Erica, hi.
Bye.
That's Erica, hi. I'm signing off. She's signing off.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next time. Homosexuals, bye.
See ya.
I almost hung up on you again.